Okay, so y'all made it through the longest gospel reading ever. So I think we could just go home now, right? As many of you know, because I talk about it all the time, I grew up spending my summers at a Christian camp in the Texas Hill Country. It's beautiful out there, but it's also hot. Sometimes it would be 105 degrees outside, and we were spending most of our days out in the sun, riding bikes, going for hikes, doing all sorts of fun things, and there was no air conditioning. So you can imagine that water takes on a whole new importance in this environment. The good news is that the Hill Country is full of spring-fed rivers, so when it gets really hot, you can go jump in the river to cool off. Every summer, we took a long, hot hike up into the hills where we would camp out overnight. There was no river to cool off on along this hike, so you relied on the little bit of water that you could bring in your water bottle, which of course was hot by the time you got where you were going. But one year, a friend of mine shared a little secret with me and some other girls in our cabin. She had discovered along our hike a little spring coming out of the ground and trickling over a big limestone rock. The water was ice cold, fresh from its source deep in the dark earth. We put our chins against the rock and let the water splash into our mouths, drinking our fill. On that long, hot hike, finding that spring was truly like finding living water. It revived our spirits as well as our bodies. In our gospel story today, the Samaritan woman whom we meet at the well gets a taste of something that is so life-giving, so refreshing, that she has to share it with others. She meets Jesus, and her encounter with this truthful, engaging, prophetic man opens her eyes and changes her heart. Jesus tells her that he will give her living water, life-giving water, and she believes him. And having found this source of living water, she doesn't hoard it or try to keep it all for herself. Instead, she goes and invites others to taste this water too. This is our first clue that this woman is a true evangelist. She runs back to her town, even leaving behind her water jug and her excitement to go share this news with her friends and neighbors. And the town listens to her and responds with remarkable enthusiasm. They drop what they're doing and head towards the well, ready to meet this amazing person. And the gospel says that many Samaritans believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So they go out and meet Jesus at the well, and then they invite him to come back and stay with them in their homes. Jesus stays with them for 2 days, eating together and talking and teaching, and we are told that many more believed because of his word. We are called to be evangelists just like this Samaritan woman. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Each one of us is called to share Jesus with others, to invite others to drink from this well of living water that we have found to be a source of life and refreshment. Now, you might be thinking, no, thank you. That aspect of the Christian life is not for me. Many of us are uncomfortable with the idea of evangelism. There are a lot of different reasons for our discomfort. Maybe you've had a bad experience with someone trying to evangelize you in a way that was pushy or disrespectful. Maybe you just don't feel like you are prepared for the task, like you don't have the knowledge or the skills to articulate your faith clearly in a way that will be persuasive to others. I know that I often pass up opportunities for evangelism because I'm afraid of coming across as clumsy or awkward. Rowan Williams is a great Anglican theologian and the former Archbishop of Canterbury. In his book, Tokens of Trust, he explains that very few people come to believe in God because of a logical explanation or argument. Instead, he says, what draws people into the life of faith is other people. What draws new believers into the Christian community is relationships with people who are already a part of that community, people who are trustworthy. I became a Christian at a young age when I was at the aforementioned summer camp. This camp had excellent Christian teaching, but that's not what first drew me in. The first taste I had of what it meant to follow Jesus came from being in relationship with my camp counselors. These were young college students who were willing to give up their summers to hang out with 10-year-old kids like me. When I saw who they were and how they lived their lives, and that they had found in God a source of life and grace and beauty, I wanted to be a part of that too. So when it comes to evangelism, to sharing the good news with others, relationships are our most valuable assets. The Samaritan woman did not have a watertight argument for why her fellow townspeople should believe in and follow Jesus. She doesn't run back into town and deliver an articulate theological treatise. She doesn't have all the answers. In fact, she's clearly still trying to wrap her head around what all of this means, as she asks a big question tinged with doubt. He can't be the Messiah, can he? What she does is she goes and finds her neighbors and says, come and see this man. And she leads them to the place where they can meet Jesus. At the heart of this woman's amazingly effective evangelism is something very simple, an invitation. Come and see. You and I, as disciples of Christ, are called to do this very same thing. We are called to go to our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and say, come and see. Come to the well where Jesus is and taste this living water. Our job as evangelists is not to persuade anyone, not to overwhelm them with information or pressure or guilt. Our call as evangelists is simple. Invite people to come along with us to the places where we have met Jesus so that they might meet Jesus too. This is great news for us because it means that our job is really pretty easy. We just point people towards Jesus, but Jesus is the one who does all the work. Jesus is the one who opens the eyes of the blind, who heals the hurting, who forgives sins. In the very last line of our gospel lesson, the Samaritan people, after they've spent 2 days in the presence of Jesus, say this to the woman who first invited them to meet Jesus. It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. This is an evangelism job well done. Because the woman didn't make it all about her, she didn't become the center of attention. A good evangelist points people to Jesus and then gets out of the way and lets Jesus do his thing. Doesn't that take a lot of the pressure off of us? In Zen Buddhism, there's an understanding that a good teacher is like a finger pointing at the moon. Sometimes we get fixated on the finger, but it's the moon that shines. It's the moon that we want to look towards. As evangelists, we are called to be fingers pointing at the moon, living in such a way that points people towards Christ. So, what are some simple ways that we can practice evangelism? How can we invite people to come along with us to encounter Jesus? The first thing you might do is take a few moments today, this afternoon or this evening, and think, where do I encounter Jesus? Where do I find God? Or where does God find me? Then invite someone to join you. This could be anyone, friend, neighbor, coworker, your favorite barista at Starbucks. If Palmer is a place where you have encountered Jesus, where you have found refreshment and renewal like a thirsty person drawing water from a well, invite someone to come here with you next Sunday. Offer to swing by and pick them up and go to brunch afterwards. Or maybe this person isn't quite ready to come to a Sunday church service. Invite them to Great Wednesdays. Newcomers eat dinner for free, so invite them to come have a good meal on us and attend one of our classes. Maybe you've encountered Christ most powerfully when you are serving in the community. Invite someone to come serve with you. Serve Sundays are a great opportunity to invite newcomers to experience what Christian service is all about. Invite someone to be on your team for our next Serve Sunday on April 30th, or to come with us on the Costa Rica mission trip this summer. Maybe you've experienced the beauty and peace of God out in nature. The next time you go for a hike or a bike ride or a camping trip, invite some new people to come along with you and share with them why being out in nature is life-giving for you. Finally, evangelism could be something as simple as inviting someone to go out for coffee and getting to know one another on a deeper level, building a meaningful relationship. Remember that relationship is so important. When the Samaritan woman walked through the town and told people to come meet this strange prophet at the well, they listened to her and went with her because they already had a relationship with her. Clearly, they had reason to trust her, to believe that she was telling the truth. So I think the key to evangelism is that combination of relationship and invitation. And those are things that we can do right now, this week. We have 4 more weeks left in Lent. What if, in addition to whatever Lenten disciplines we've taken on, we also committed to inviting one person each week to join us in a place where we encounter God? What might happen?